Okay, guys. First of all, to comment on breaking of bread, I really valued that time this morning. Felt that God was with us. You know, it's quite an important value-laden time, because the way you share communion is often of the essence. And while it's not a requirement that we call on people at last notice, you know, last minute's notice, it really is important in all that we do that everybody has the opportunity to serve at the Lord's table. And in fact, if it wasn't that it sounded so old-fashioned, that would actually be the preferred phrase that we would use to refer to the Lord's table, because when you say those two words, it just ties everything together. It's a place where we establish that we're all at the same level. We're all dependent on the Lord. We all come together. As you know, from time to time, I struggle with this, to be aware of the presence of God. And when I came into the meeting this morning, I sat down just saying, Lord, where are you? What are you doing? It happened for me just, you know, sort of, I'm maybe psycho, that's fine, but you're not going to change me now. It just happened for me that once again, I was aware of the Lord dancing in the meeting. What I mean by that is that I didn't have an open vision. It wasn't something that I could see, but just on the edges of my mind, I was conscious of that. And the immediate response from myself in my own mind was, I knew you would like it here. Yeah? And I need stuff like that, because I find I can be hugely critical of whatever's going on. Thought the song list was great this morning, it was good, helped me no end. But the fact that God is happy when we get together to worship him, and I think, you know, it might actually provide you with a test to get beyond the mental antics, the critical attitudes, cynicisms, and things which arise on the basis of personal preference. You know, I like this kind of music, don't like that kind of music. Oh, they could have done that better. They weren't quite in tune there. This wasn't happening. Those kids are running about. I got out on the wrong side of bed this morning. But just choose to be aware of what God's feeling, what he's thinking. And I'm pretty certain that he doesn't have a checklist of things that are wrong with the meeting, because he sees what's in our hearts, and if he started a checklist on that, we'd all be stuffed anyway. So, that was just that. I don't know how many of you listened to the news quiz, but Danny Finkelstein told a story this week which really, really got me going. He said that he'd been at a conference in Glasgow, and he met somebody there. They got deep into conversation, decided they would come back on the same train, and the guy who was with him was feeling about, you know, that sensation, I know I've got my ticket somewhere, but where is it? And he couldn't find his ticket, and of course Glasgow to London is a big deal, but I guess he was somebody who's fairly well known, because they actually let him off of paying for the ticket, and he was overwhelmed by this, thought it was fantastic, and got home and told his story to his wife. He said, I was on this train, met up with Finkelstein, and there we were chatting, and I couldn't find my ticket, it was so embarrassing, and the guy let me off. And she said, yeah, she said, that's great, she said, but what have you done with our car? You know, there's always another story. There's always another way of looking at things. And actually, I would put my hand up, as well as making me laugh, that sent a cold shiver through me, because I thought, if I got engrossed enough in conversation, that could happen to me as well. And it sort of tied up with, you know, on Sunday or Monday, I posted a Phil Vischer podcast about how the religious right developed in the States. Really good. If you can get past all the VeggieTales voices and all the silly stuff around it. I'm sure there was only about half an hour's talk in the useful talk in the hour. It was really very valuable. It's stuff, some of the stuff I'm familiar with because I've needed to understand what happened in the early part of the century. But there's quite a lot there about what was happening in the 50s and 60s. And it actually shows that there are other factors in play. There are some really great free podcasts around. Of course, what isn't free is the time to listen to them. And if you can squeeze it in, actually listening to that particular podcast would be well valuable. So, last week we were talking about what to think about in 2017. Hope you've been getting a grip on that. That you've been setting your minds on things above. You've been thinking about things that are positive. You have, although it's a serious issue, you haven't become unduly preoccupied with the state of the National Health Service or the American presidency, but what God is at work in doing. That's where we were last week. That's very much micro on what's going on in our own minds, our own feelings. Today, I want to look at something from more macro level, just a bit more macro, but it's from the point of view of us in Dayspring here. Next week, Anna is speaking, and she's going to be taking us to look at things from a global perspective. By the way, Anna's a published author. I don't know whether you've seen this book, got hold of it. It's well worth working through. I'd like to meet some people who've worked through it in 40 days, you know, or whatever it is, that would be good. But it sort of shows, it raises a lot of issues, and there is nothing like it around, nothing fills the same sort of gap that has got both the commitment to transformation, societal transformation, and charismatic sensitives. Now, sensitivities there. She's not going to talk about that next week, but it does, I don't think she is anyway. Yeah. You might want to buy it, take out an extra mortgage. It's not that bad. I'll pay more than that for it, sure. Yeah. So you're getting it at sub-Amazon prices if you buy next week. But do have a look at it. It's well worth working through. And if you're going to do it, you do actually need your own copy of the book. And mark it up heavily as you go along. It might be something that you choose to do a few days of at a time if you're off work or on holiday or something, just sort of build that in. I obviously show that I'm somebody who goes on holiday, not always with small children, when I say something like that. The thought for many of you of being able to do that is quite a thing. Now, let's have a pray. Okay. Father, I ask this morning that so that people can listen properly, you will anoint my words properly and you'll keep me on the course which you want to take through the material. Amen. Okay. There's a verse in the Bible, which in Proverbs, which says, where there is no prophetic vision, what's the other half of the verse? People perish in the Authorised Version. In almost every other translation, because I checked to find one that said perish, because I like that, because that's the conclusion. It's people throw off restraint, right? Another way of saying it is, without a vision, people are all over the place. Yeah, there's nothing to confine. In fact, it's been a bit of a week for trying to find out in the Old Testament what the text actually says. At the moment, I'm going to go with the NIV for all points, as there seems to be a lot of convergence there. But from time to time, we need to look back at where we're going. And of course, last year, at this time of year, I looked at what I was speaking on this Sunday last year, although not till after I'd done my initial preparation. But we were retreating or reviewing, looking back at some of the things that have been really important to us in shaping Dayspring to what it is today. And that period really was between 1998, as we've sort of formed and began to develop a bit more confidence. And you will remember that I talked to you about three W's, the weather, the well, and wake up. The notion of a change, change in the weather, a change in the spiritual climate, is all about fertility. And there were some prophecies around about that time that just sort of summed up where we were all feeling that we were in the churches. Wouldn't it be great if being in Britain was like being in the Southern Hemisphere, where people are responding hugely to God? It seems it's been going on at the same time. We were saying, wouldn't it be great if, rather than having a sort of European spirituality which seems cold and infertile, it was more like the USA, where they seem to be seeing huge success, although of course that is gradually getting eroded on the East Coast and the West Coast, and those areas are far more like it is in Britain or Germany. But that was one of the elements, a change in the spiritual climate. And the second one was the notion of a well springing up. You know, scattered all over the place, particularly in the southwest of Britain, are these little holy wells. And these were places where there were springs, where monks and monks settled, and where God began to do miracles, and people in the end got mixed up between whether it was the spirit or whether it was the water. But nonetheless, in the in the notion of water as being a source of life overlapping with this weather thing, that became really significant for us, and it helped us to pray for a well of the Spirit of God in Wiltshire. And that was significant for us in 1999 in particular, and the nearest holy well I can remember, I went there to spend some time praying and say, God, what will you do for us? It's up just beyond Lynham, Bradenstoke. You can walk up there around the edge of the wire and find the well. And it's at that time they've got sheep in the field, and there's a pipe coming up from some sort of spring, and it just pours out there. And the prayer was, Lord, do in the spirit what we can see in the natural. And then, of course, we came up with this theme, came in all sorts of ways. There were some people who came over from Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship, and they talked to us about sleepiness. We'd already discovered in our own prayers and reflections something about this as well. And lo and behold, we were looking at some old photographs of Chippenham, and this particular postcard said, if you're troubled with sleeplessness, move to Chippenham. Yeah? Come somewhere, come to a really relaxed and sleepy sort of place. And when you're in, when you spend time in cities and you come back to areas like we are, and I'm sure that Wiltshire is no different to other parts of the country, there's a sense of the fact that the quality of life is higher, and undoubtedly it is. Everything just seems easier. Seems more relaxed, less challenging, and with it, we're less punchy as well. It's partly due to the fact that if you look at the population of Wiltshire, I'll allow myself one distraction just to point this out to you, because it's something that we haven't talked about for years. Pens. I had pens. No, but these are useful things. Except I ain't got my pens. No. They do. I was just actually thinking, is it a word from the Lord? Get on with what you're supposed to be talking about. That's a possibility. Let's do this. Okay. Most of you are familiar with something called a population pyramid. Theoretically, in a population pyramid, you have a lot of people who are very young and fewer people as you get older. That's the concept behind a population pyramid. You do it with female and with male, and so that is a stereotypical structure. In conditions of... In conditions of pre-industrial society, it would be much more like that, of course. Okay? Right. And who used to teach economics at A-level, that has forgotten most of it. If you actually look at the population in London, you'll actually find that it goes, or in any university city, of course, you'll find it goes like that. Okay? Why is that? Because you've got a load of students. And of course, if you've got loads of students in some places, the consequence is that you've got a population pyramid like this where we are. Okay? If you actually look at the population in Wiltshire, there's this huge gap here between, and I've dramatised it a bit, between age 18 and age 35. And of course, that makes for a quieter, more peaceful life. It makes for less activity. It makes for different kinds of housing. So I'm not trying to say this is some sort of hovering demon over Wiltshire that makes it the way we are. There are some things about the way our society is that make it that kind of place. Now, here's the point. When I talked about all this last year, we didn't really get very much traction on it. It's probably been the most, at the time, we've been most systematic about returning to the subject pretty much every 6 weeks through the year. And these things, though the weather, the well and wake up, people found it very difficult to recall. Now, we can go a couple of ways on that. We can say how dreadful you people haven't been doing your homework. We can say how dreadful, what a lousy teacher I am, and others who were involved in it. But I think it illustrates the point that it's one thing bringing a prophetic word in the first place, because, guys, we were excited about this. We thought about it a lot, and some of you will remember that at the time it had the power to galvanise us and helped us make some very important decisions. But it's one thing to bring a prophecy the first time. It is a totally different thing to try and revisit it. And sometime during the year, the phrase, "and the word of the Lord came a second time," began to sort of get stirred up. It was in conversation. I can remember talking with Andy about it. I can remember other contexts in which we talked about it. And our feeling is that the word of the Lord needs to come in such a way again to us that it galvanizes us and gets us going. So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to have in the back of my mind the this idea, but I'm going to go to some things which some of us think God's been talking to us about over the last little while. One of the questions we frequently ask in core team is, where do you think we are? And out of that... I think it was in November, we we found ourselves thinking about what's going on in Dayspring at the moment. And of course, one of the big things that's been evident over the past year has been the arrival of new babies and the imminent expectation of that happening. So that gets logged. One of the things that was very significant during last year was that we were messed up with Cabaret Connection because Joe Enright had not sorted her schedule out and was having a baby and thought that she could recover in 2 weeks and then come and perform. And in fact, was it March she was due to be with us last year or October?
Well, initially October, we pushed.
Yeah, it went October, November. Now we're hoping she'll be okay in March this year as the process goes on. So that struck us as being significant. And if you know your Bible, and of course there's no way of knowing your Bible other than reading it. It isn't magic, guys. The reason that some of us can come up with passages from here and there is not because we've got a seventh sense. It's because we have in the past, even for not so much at the moment, we've read the Bible. And there's a bit in Isaiah 66, which we'll come to this morning, which describes God as being the midwife for his people. Okay? And what I want to do is to have a little think around this. You see, if you look at the book of Isaiah, there's quite a lot about birth through it. If you go to, chapter 7, chapter 8, what's the first thing about birth that comes up in the book of Isaiah? We've just had Christmas already. You got that one? Unto us a child is born. That wasn't the one I was thinking of in the chair, but that's one that wasn't on my list. Well done. There's the other one where you get, behold, a young woman will conceive and bear a child. I say it that way because in Isaiah, it's behold, a young woman will conceive. Later on, by implication, a young married woman will conceive. Later on in Matthew, it becomes, behold, a virgin will conceive and bear a son. And so that's where it starts off. And there are all sorts of bits about it there. There's the place where later on you get... In Isaiah 54, it talks about the barren woman singing. You who never bore a child, burst into song, shout for joy, you who were never in labour, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. And it's that place that goes straight on to that really famous thing that we often talk about, the kind of thing we as charismatics and evangelicals like to hear about enlarge your tent, you know, stretch out the ropes because there's expansion. In Isaiah 49, it gets, I was bereaved and barren, I was exiled and rejected. Who brought these up? I was left all alone. But these, where have they come from? There's children around. There's a place in Isaiah 37 where it says, this is a day of distress and rebuke and disgrace, as when children come to the moment of birth and there is no strength to deliver them. Just imagine what that would have been like in a pre-scientific environment. And of course, it was often like where they didn't know what to do for the best, where a baby couldn't be born. There wasn't the health, there wasn't the help. People lived by, and of course, in some parts of the world, it can still be like that today. But I wanted to go to a passage that I actually mentioned in Core Team, and it actually raised a laugh because some of the members of Core Team had not heard, not read this. Particular passage in Isaiah before, and it goes like this. Lord, they came to you in their distress. When you disciplined them, They could barely whisper a prayer. As a pregnant woman about to give birth writhes and cries out in her pain, so were we in your presence, O Lord. We were with child, we writhed in labour. What does it say next? You knew anyway. But we gave birth to wind. Okay, what about that? Somewhat coarse, you feel, on Isaiah's part. As a pregnant woman about to give birth rises and cries out in her pain, so were we in your presence, Lord. We were with child, we writhed in labour, but we gave birth to wind. We have not brought so what does that mean? We have not brought salvation to the earth, and the people of the world have not come to life. Have you ever had an experience like that? Bear in mind, this isn't talking about having a baby. This is talking about bringing to birth something significant that you've prayed for, you believe God wants to do. Have you ever experienced, do you think we have ever experienced in Dayspring, a situation which is like that, where all that effort has gone in and it seems they haven't produced a baby, it's only produced wind? Those of you who have been around for a while, talk to people who haven't been around for so long and think about some occasions where it's been like that. Pretty depressing, isn't it? But let's... Okay, guys, let's get some feedback. What I'm going to do is I will leave David and Andy till last, okay, on this, because occasionally when we're not feeling terribly enthusiastic and happy, we can make quite a long list of things that have been like this. So what we're really worried about is whether you come up with things that we've not thought of and end up making our list longer. Yeah. So what things can you think of where the feeling afterwards has been like we've put all this stuff in and very little has happened? Think? Well, I'm sure some of you have thought of some of these things, but David, why don't you start with things that have been like that?
The specifics, some of the Christmas events we've done, we've put a lot of effort into a single event and not seen many visitors. Another one for me would be during the latter part of the 90s, there was a lot of talk of revival in favour of our Lord, and all the exciting things were going to happen, and we certainly haven't seen what we thought we were going to see. I suppose in some ways we'd hope to see more out of Cabaret than Blue.
Well, yeah, I'd want to trim off. Let's just trim off the in some ways. We wanted to see more out of Cabaret and Open Blue, right? Do you want to add to that or spell out some things?
And Cafe and then yeah. Specific things.
Well, Cafe never even really got off the ground, is it?
But I think with Open Blue, it was we were expecting that as we went into different places, we'd probably see small groups of Christians develop and, you know, expressions of church, if you like, in the rural areas, and that's sort of been a real...
Yeah. So that's important to understand, that the vision behind Open Blue is that we do bless people, that we do it without any conditions, no conditionality in anything we do. People come along. But what we saw was that we would identify people in localities who had got some sort of embers of faith, who were ready to be stirred up, and would plant something authentic in those areas. And we really thought that over 10 years it would happen. And we've had loads of input, particularly in our early years, from guys who came from Southern Africa and West Africa, and some of the other prophetic voices as well, who increased our expectations in that area. It's been the same with Cabaret. Great, we've been able to see people come along. We've almost established a group there. We haven't been able to transition that to being a Saturday night congregation around tables or something, or even a midweek group that is studying Scripture. It seems like we've got stuck. Now, that's not a very happy position to be in, is it, to talk about that? But I think it's really important that we put our hands up where our expectations have been disappointed, so that when we talk about expectation, we can be credible. And that's what the desire is. So we want you to feel free to say, when we talk about what we want to see, to say, yes, but it hasn't happened yet. And I am not going to leave you with a half-decent takeaway this morning. You're going to have to make your own takeaway. I'm going to put some ingredients out there, they may be 4 packs for £7 or whatever, but you're going to have to make out of them what you will. There you are. I showed you this during last year, didn't I? There's the Archbishop of Canterbury bringing forth wind instead of the new child. It's a really unfair picture, isn't it? They took a photograph of him at a point where he got his head in his hands at Synod. And the caption there is that no growth for 30 years, Church of England predicts. Well, 30 years is a pretty low estimate, because from most people, from a guy I used to know very well, Eddie Gibbs, who's at Fuller, I think still at Fuller, in the United States, one of the big Christian study centres, says it may take us 50 years to see the turnaround that we need for people coming back to God.
Hey.
Yeah.
My experience of the recovery process and everything over the last 10 years with my friends has been that I've discovered that we've got a lot further to travel, and it's a lot bigger process, or longer process.
Okay.
The timing is right, and I'm seeing changes now in people that I might have hoped would become part of the Church and Christians 8-10 years ago.
That's brilliant. Are you going to be here the week after next? It would be actually interesting to examine that in some detail. I was going to talk about something else, but that I think is precisely one of the ways in which we've got to think about the fact that there's a long, slow gradient there at the moment. We'll try and fix a conversation about that in the meeting.
Part of being church in the current culture.
Yeah.
Because our culture is so different from the church that I came from.
If you carry on, you'll preach next week, 2 weeks. Talk all the way through. We can come back. Rachel's obviously been doing a lot of thinking about this and has worked on her own takeaway before we've even got there. But then, let me take you on to, you see, because the problem is, if that was the truth, then there would be no point in doing anything, would there? If nothing's going to make a difference. And it is interesting, if you take the whole passage in its context, what happens is that God doesn't bring any criticism to these guys. Doesn't criticise them. Let's make sure I do actually return to my notes at some stage. Yeah, there's just a reaffirmation. And you know what the big message is, if you look at the whole chapter there in 26, it's look, keep your heads down. Okay? Stay with it. Keep your heads down. And then you see that in Isaiah 37, this is 26, 37, it comes back to coming to the point of birth and not having any strength. It comes to 49, and then it's talking about there's going to be a day comes that people are going to look around and say, hey, we didn't do this. And in fact, one of the delights of some of those of you who have joined us over the past year, and we're really appreciating, Star of the Week goes to Matthew, who spends all day doing technical jobs and was installing stuff on the bus in his time off. You know, that's pretty impressive with your head down. That would make me feel strange anyway, trying to work kneeling down like that in that sort of environment. But that's fantastic. All the people who have come by, having John there as well. We've mentioned those sorts of things, and we know that there are others of you who are trying to work in and find where your place of contribution is. That's great. We react to that by saying, why the heck does it only happen now? We've been praying for guys like these to come and join us for a decade. And now it happens. You do get to the point of saying, well, what's the point of praying? Oh, yeah, but if we hadn't prayed, then it might not be happening now. And so no criticism. But then you come on to this passage, and if you wanted a good place where the Bible seems to be saying opposite things, you look at Isaiah 66. And it says this: before she goes into labour, she gives birth. Before the pains come on her, she delivers a son. Who has ever heard of such things? Who has ever seen things like this? Can a country be born in a day, or a nation brought forth in a moment? Yet no sooner is Zion, the people of God, in labour than she gives birth to her children. Do I bring to the moment of birth and not give delivery, says the Lord? Do I close up the womb when I bring to delivery, says your God? Fantastic. Total turn of the coin, turn of the wheel to a different situation. Now, of course, over the years, that's been applied to all sorts of situations, to Israel in its context at the beginning, to setting up the nation of Israel in 1947. That phrase, can a country be born in a day? People said the fulfillment of that was setting up of the state of Israel. Well, it's another way of interpreting it. But another way of interpreting it is wherever something needs to be produced out of the heart of God and by the power of the Spirit, that this can happen. And I think just as we round off, and I just want to deal with some implications of this, let's try and read it together. What I'm going to do is to suggest that we do it like this. Okay, that's big enough to read, is it? Pretty much. Okay, so this side, going to read the blue bits. This side, the white responses. Okay, so you need to look at the screen and we'll see how we go. So, this side starts off, before before the pains come upon her, who has ever heard of such things? Can a country be born in a day, or a nation be brought forth in a moment? Yet sooner than it's fantastic, isn't it? That baby seems stunningly big to me, by the way, but that's that's about it. The nurse is on a project in Ecuador, and I don't know whether they have particularly big children there, but he looks very small and very big at the same time, doesn't he? Here's the message of Isaiah 66, guys. Let's get hold of this. Do I bring to the moment of birth and not give delivery, says the Lord? Do I close up the womb when I bring to delivery, says your God? Yeah? And of course, Rachel has spoiled it all by pointing up the fact that what may be changing is the length of pregnancy. Yeah? The amount of time it takes from God to start something for it to come forth in the at the end. So what I want to say, I think this is probably the word of the Lord that I have for you. You pay your money and you take your choice. Are you going to live in Isaiah 26? Or are you going to get the picture of Isaiah 66 in your mind? Are we going to live in a way that says, hasn't worked before, not going to work again, going to give up? Or are we going to say it's possible that there are better things? There were some good things that happened during that period in the late 90s. There were some difficult things that happened as well. One of the things on a personal level that I remember happening was that something changed hugely for me when I got prayed for and found myself being affected not by the barking, shouting, sort of all that kind of stuff, but just an awareness of the presence of God that I had never known before in my life. That was a real change for me, having been brought up in the hot days of the Pentecostal movement, in that sort of hot environment. That was important. And our daughter-in-law, Andrea, during that time was when our granddaughter was born. But Andrea had had something that we hadn't noticed, but Simon had, a whole reservoir of sadness in her personality. Her dad had been a Royal Marine bandsman, and Alan knows him well, knew him well, because he taught Alan violin, apparently. And what happened was he ended up with a brain tumour and died when the girls were about 12 or 13, around that time. And there was something about sadness. And what used to happen when you were prayed for during this era, and I covet this to happen again, that quite often the things that you were stuck on led to a complete reversal. And those of you who know Andrea will know that she's a fairly quiet, fairly reserved lady, a very gracious lady. But every time she was prayed for, she laughed and she laughed and she laughed. And as she was prayed for and as she laughed, the sadness and bereavement that was stuck on her began to lift off. And I know of other people where that happened. We had a team once with us where a guy was talking about the fact that he actually went to Toronto. I don't know whether any of you remember this. And his wife had died a couple of years previously. And when he was there, he found himself going through this process of coming to freedom and to a joy, which 3 years on from his bereavement, wasn't dismissing the loss of his wife, but was finding a new place, which was fantastic. And I know there were times that for me, there were things that happened that I wasn't necessarily able to interpret my stuff, my own stuff, but people would say to me, well, perhaps it means this, perhaps it's got significance. So these things happen. And one of the great things that people used to talk about was this word suddenly. Suddenly, everything could change. And if everything changed suddenly tomorrow, if the well sprung up, if there was a change in the spiritual climate, I wonder where we'd be. Would we be able to respond to it? Or would we be wondering, thinking about, if only I'd spent more time disciplining myself, if only I'd spent more time reading the scripture, if only I'd spent more time stirring my family to follow God, if only I'd spent more time praying that our young people will become men and women of God who serve him powerfully, or will be ready to go for it, right? I assume that you've got your case packed. Yeah. Yes? Is it in the car?
No.
No. Okay. Have you got the music you want to play? Have you got some clothes for the baby? Wouldn't she be stupid if she'd said no to all those things? But guys, I think sometimes we're equally stupid. We think that when it happens, we're going to be ready for it. If it happens, and it may not happen in our generation, but then we've got the duty to get it ready for the next. So I didn't realise I was going to get quite there, but what did fascinate me was, as I looked through my stuff yesterday, I realised that I was actually covering some of the same ground that we covered at this time last year. I've gone and deleted the slide, but never mind. I ended up last year talking about this. I read from Isaiah 29, which is about another issue entirely, but makes the same point. In a very short time, the prophet said, will not Lebanon be turned into a fertile field? And a fertile field seem like a forest? In that day, the deaf will hear the words of the scroll, and out of gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind will see. And to get the best out of that, you need to read the whole chapter. Once more, the humble will rejoice in the Lord. The needy will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. That's what those 66 chapters are about. The fact that things may seem bad or may seem boring, which is even worse sometimes, but they could be great. And they could become great very suddenly. So when God's the midwife, things can happen at huge speed if he chooses to do so. And that's where I want to nail my expectation. Taking into account the fact that we won't know, that we can't actually plan the gestation all the way through, but that we believe that one day God will intervene. So perhaps this year we won't talk so much about wells and weather and wake up. Perhaps we'll talk about more about bringing something to birth. Let's see how it goes, and let's see if that sticks in our mind and begins to develop the sort of fizz of the prophetic inside of us. Quick prayer and we're done. Well, Father, I don't know what other people feel, but I get the sort of feeling that you've worked with us today and helped us to pick things up. Lord, I pray now that you will cause this stuff to find a place in our hearts so that almost against expectation, we go back to the Bible this week and start to have a look at some of these things. Father, I pray that your word will enter our hearts, and where it enters, it will bring light. Amen. Okay, on social media, we will post the readings. I will also post, the summary that we made about three quarters of the way through last year about what our thinking was on that idea, because it'd be really nice to have people look at that and to ask us some questions about it. Next week, Anna, we'll be getting you to do some thinking and do some work, and I hardly dare say what she's going to speak on in case she's changed direction between last time we spoke and now. But she's going to talk. I think you're going to help us to think about how we can pray for people that we don't know across the world. That's going to be one of the big things. So that will be a good time next Sunday. That's it. Thank you. Don't forget about prayer tonight, just for an hour.